All right, turn to Luke 16 tonight. Luke chapter 16 will not be lengthy this evening, I hope. Okay. We have a lot of things we have to consider, though, and a lot of things that I trust will be a help and blessing. We've been talking on Wednesday nights for some time about a simple plan for victory in everyday life. And the thing that we want to learn is that the Bible has the answer. Now, I think everybody knows that, but sometimes people don't always know where to turn, or they don't always know how to apply the principles that that they find in the Bible. And I mentioned to you earlier about this seminar that's coming to town. Now, I'm teaching you those same things that you'll learn there, here. I don't teach them all in 1 week, okay? But we talk about them from time to time. And if you've been to that seminar, you'll recognize these seven things. I'm teaching them a little bit differently than you'll hear them there. But the thing that we've been looking at here in this simple plan for victory is an answer to the question, why do we face the same old problems again and again? Why do we not grow out of immaturity into maturity? Why do we not get answers from the Word of God that will change our lives and make us different people? You know, one of the most painful things of all in life is to learn a hard lesson and then realize that you already knew it. Isn't that right? George Patton said there's no education in the second kick of a mule. And boy, that's the truth. You know, you learn something, then you have to learn it over again. And then the first thing, man, I knew that. Well, why is it that you weren't able to apply it? It's because we don't exercise ourselves in these principles. And I think it's necessary for us from time to time to be reminded to exercise ourselves in these principles about man and about God. Now, these are not the only things that we find in the Bible, obviously. But there are several basic principles about man that we've been reviewing. We're on the seventh one tonight. And then a couple of basic principles about God. Now, there are many, many things that you can study about God. That's what theology is. But just these several things I think that will help people. The first is, of course, this idea of what is a proper self-image. We've fluctuated back and forth. People say, well, I got a bad self-image. And then, well, I got to improve my self-image. And if they're not careful, they fall into a big emphasis on pride and self-love and a false view of what self-image is all about. And, of course, Matthew 22 gives us the balance there. The other is the principle that we call the principle of obedience and denial of authority. People need to understand how authority works in our lives. And people tend to gravitate to one extreme or another on this one as well. Sometimes people get to the place where they're not willing to listen to authority at all, and then other people get to the place where they think, if my authority told me, then I don't have any responsibility. I just do what I'm told. Neither of those is in balance. Balance. That's the key. And then we talked about fault life and how from Mark 7, 22 through 23, we can know what's really in our lives by considering what's in our thoughts. And though all of us may seek to justify our lives by looking at our outward behavior, if we look at our inner thoughts, that will reveal what's really going on in our lives. The fourth one is selfishness, the idea of demanding rights. When the Bible clearly teaches us that we belong to God, if we are saved, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. We talked about the principle of immorality and morality, and we found that the key there is in understanding the purpose of our appetites. And not making a sport out of feeding our appetites, but recognizing that God gave us those appetites for certain reasons. Then we talked last week about our life's purpose, our calling to walk holy with the Lord and to walk in newness of life. And the way we find victory there is by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we focused on last time. Another very important principle is that the Bible has some clear principles about stewardship, about finances. And in Luke chapter 16, there are two very important verses that teach us what we need to know, in essence, about this matter of finances. I am convinced that more trouble is brought into marriages today over this one issue, probably than anything else. You show me a person that has a problem with many other areas of life, and you can usually find a root in this problem of stewardship. It says here in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now in that statement, those statements of our Lord there in Luke 16, 10 and 11, we find a key to these other things. Remember what we talked about last week from Romans chapter 6? We said there that what a person's got to do is yield his life to the Lord. He's got to give himself completely to God. He's got to yield his members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness. Remember those verses that we saw in Romans 6? You say, that's fine, preacher. Now, how do I learn to do that? You learn it in the little things so you can do it in the big things. That's what stewardship is all about. God gives us opportunities to learn in little ways that won't hurt as many people or that won't hurt anybody but us. And as we demonstrate faithfulness in a few things, then God commits to our trust bigger things. You see how that works? Now, one of the problems of human nature is that we think the reason we are unfaithful in little things is because little things are not important. And if we had a chance to be involved with some big things, then we would apply these principles that we know are true. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that thinking? Let me say it again. People sometimes believe that it's okay for them to be careless in little things because little things don't matter. But if they had a chance to be involved in big things, why then they'd be faithful because big things do matter. Tell me some things that are wrong with that statement. Yes, ma'am. Okay, it's a little problem, but it'll get bigger. What else is wrong with it? Okay, all right.
It shows our character.
All right, what about our character? Yeah, okay. What else? Where's the fundamental flaw in that kind of thinking? Okay? That's exactly right. Big things are just made up of a lot of little things. That's all they are. But now there's something else that reveals to us about ourselves that says it doesn't matter how I behave in little things because they don't matter. Yes? Okay, it's God's work. And what does that other attitude say? Yes, Bob? Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a pride problem. Maybe it says, well, you know, these little things don't really matter because they don't matter to me. I'll decide what's important and what's not. And this little thing down here doesn't matter very much because it's not worthy of my gifts and talents and abilities. So you give me something that's really significant, and I'll show you what I can do. But don't expect me to be faithful in these little things. That's just another form of pride, isn't it? You see? A failure to be a good steward in little things is just another manifestation of pride. Woman? That's right. Do it with all your might. Do it with your heart. That's exactly right. So, if we are not faithful in this matter of physical things, we'll be unfaithful in spiritual things. That's what Luke 16, 10 through 12 teaches us. That's why it says, if you've been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit your trust to true riches? We will never be given responsibility for spiritual things until we have proved fidelity in physical things. Now, where's the best way to learn how to be responsible for physical things? The best circumstance. Marco, did you start to say? You got the answer. Go ahead and say it. The best place to learn it. Yeah, at school or when you're young. Yeah, at home. In other words, when you're young, you learn how to take care of little things. That's why it's important to teach kids to take care of things. You take care of your clothes, you take care of your property, you take care of the things that you're responsible for, and those things build character. Now look, folks, sometimes you're going to be under pressure and folks are going to say, well, you know, you fundamental Baptists, you're so legalistic, oh, get off their back and let them be kids, you know. Go ahead and let them tear up everything, right? No, now wait a minute. You're teaching them principles. Did you want to say something else? That's right. That's exactly the principle. That's exactly right. If he gives you a penny, how do you treat that? Okay? And you'll be faithful in the big things in the same way that you're faithful in the little things. Now here's a person that says, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. But if a little child starts developing the idea that this shirt that God provided for him, he didn't buy it, he didn't earn it, he just got it as a gift through his parents, from God. And if that's not important, he can take it off and just throw it down with impunity and not think about it. He is starting to develop some attitudes. Now again, balance is the key. I know an awful lot of fastidious people who are extremely clean who don't have balance in their lives. Okay? We're not talking about equating spiritual behavior with physical behavior. You can become very legalistic in physical things and never learn the spiritual truths which they illustrate. But one of the best ways to teach children fidelity in spiritual issues is to teach them discipline in physical issues. And that exact same principle operates in our lives as adults. If we'll be faithful in a few things, God will make us master over many things. If we'll take care of the little job, God will give us the big job. Isn't that right? Now, you know, we all believe that. But when you take the practical application of that, sometimes I wonder what Christians are thinking. Now let me show you some manifestations of what I perceive to be a problem in our lives. It is always easy to find somebody to do the job in the church that the spotlight's on. It's always easy to get somebody to take the position that everybody sees. It is extremely difficult to get somebody who will faithfully do the job that nobody sees. Why is that? Why is it? The pride that's revealed in that principle right there. That principle of stewardship and finances and taking care of the few things so you can be made master over many. Now you show me a person who faithfully, diligently does the big job, and I'll show you somebody who faithfully, diligently did and probably still does the little job. But you show me somebody who is not willing to do the little job until he gets the big job, and I'll show you a guy that wouldn't know what to do with the big job if he had it. Now show me some other expressions of that same thing. Can you think of it? I can give you one. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If a man rule not his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? What does that mean? We act like that's some sort of a qualification, like you have to check it off. It's not talking about qualification. It's talking about ability as well. If a man has not been able to make it work at home, how's he going to make it work among hundreds? Isn't that right? You see? It's a simple matter of common sense. How can a person be responsible for a lot if he can't be faithful with a little? He can't. Rick? Speak up. That's right. What Rick is saying, and I talked with Rick some this afternoon, is that if God gives you a little bit, then you be faithful with that, and God will give you more. Okay? Now that's true not only with material things, but it's true with spiritual things. It's true with every area of life. This is a principle. Now let me share some other things with you. We're running out of time here. The point is, the principle of stewardship is illustrated with finances. We are to be faithful in little things so that God can commit to our trust big things. That doesn't mean you should be faithful with a $10 bill so God will give you a million. Okay? And a lot of people get that idea. Well, now, you know, if I want to get rich, this is a good way to do it. No, you've missed it altogether. You've missed it. If you'll be faithful with the physical things, God will give you opportunities to work with the spiritual things. That's what that says. Now, where's the real blessing? Isn't it in winning souls? Isn't it in caring for Christians? Isn't it in nurturing and encouraging those who are growing in the Lord? That's the most important thing. And if we want to be faithful in those things, we've got to learn to discipline ourselves in the physical things. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be in the military. I'll tell you, I learned so many valuable lessons. You know, when I first went in the military, I didn't know what I was getting into. I mean, really, I went off and joined the military because I was sick of taking orders. And that's the truth. You know, you hear it all the time, don't you? Young lady, she tells mom and dad, you know, I don't want to mess with these little brothers and sisters here, you know, and these diapers and dishes, and I'm tired of it. What are you going to do? I'm leaving. I'm going to go get married, you know. Isn't that the way they think? Sure it is. And we tell our dads, you know, you're not going to tell me what to wear and how to cut my hair. I'll go join the Marines, you know. That's got to be some form of insanity. But that's what we do, isn't it? And so God says, okay, you won't let the little chisel do the job. We'll get a big chisel here. Okay? And God has His ways of doing those kinds of things. It's very, very interesting. When I went off of the service, I remember that first morning. Man, we got in there. We got in the bed about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. We'd ridden the bus all night, got down to San Antonio, Texas. 5 o'clock in the morning, this guy with 8 feet long arms came in. You know, he looked like it. Anyway. Reached across both sides of the room at once and turned on 2 light switches. Boom. And said, get up. Just like that. We got up. Okay. And I thought to myself, what have I done? What have I done? And boy, all through training, we learned to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And we learned how to stand up straight. And we learned it from the time reveille was sounded at 5 o'clock every morning. We had 5 minutes. 5:05, we had to be standing outside in formation, in our uniform,
with the barracks and inspection order. And I don't know if they still do that or not, but that's what we had to do. 5 minutes. I can't even get my right leg out of bed in 5 minutes. You know what I'm feeling? But we did it somehow. We got it done. That was good for me. I remember I got to my first duty station. The first job they gave me. A little short guy, Tech Sergeant McManigle was his name. Man of few words. I was assigned to him. Go work for him. And I don't know whether they trained him to do this or whether he just didn't want to mess with me that day. I said, I'm supposed to work with you today, Sergeant. He said, fine. See that plane? Yes. Go change the battery. And I said, yes, sir. Where's the battery? He said, get the book. That's all he said to me. Worked all day long on that battery. It's in the back seat of an F4 down behind the circuit breaker panel on the right side of the rudder where it is absolutely impossible for the human body to get to. I was on my shoulder with my head down back in beside that thing working on it most of the day. Those were some of the kinds of experiences I had. I thought, boy, what have I done to myself? I 4 years of this stuff. I'll never make it. I'll never forget another day. I was out there. I was on the flight line. And I was bored. I'd come in at 4:30 that morning to pre-flight my airplane. And had gone off for a 7 o'clock flight. The sun was just coming up. I was so tired. And I had the chocks for the airplane and all the metal down locks for the landing gears and all those things. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. It's just a bunch of stuff. And had all that stuff. We were supposed to stack it all up and make it look in a nice, neat, uniform pile. So all of them looked the same, you know, and the general could come by and feel good. And that's why they do that stuff. And so I was trying to put it all in shape there. And man, I was tired. And I had my hands in my pockets. And I was kind of shoving that stuff around, you know, just trying to stack it up there with my feet. Because I didn't want to bend over. I was so tired. I was 20, you know. You don't have a lot of energy, you know. But Sergeant McManigal was watching me. He was over standing behind the plane. He came over and he just looked at me. He didn't say a single word to him. He just looked at him and just shook his head like, you sluggard. He bent down in one little motion and grabbed all that stuff and put it in a pile. And he just looked at me as if to say, it took 10 seconds. Just do it. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, what he did was easier than what I've been trying to do. It'd be easier to just go ahead and do the job than to go through all this effort and trying to keep him doing the job. That was a life-changing lesson for me when I understood that it was easier sometimes just go ahead and do your work. And I spent those 4 years, my whole first tour of duty was in Tampa, Florida. And I thought, man, I got to have some more of this. And I reenlisted. And 7 years of my life, I spent doing things that were unpleasant, that other people were holding me responsible to do. And I got to where I enjoyed doing a good job after a while, and I felt good about it, and I knew how to work on these planes, and I picked up some rank and had a little bit of authority, and I was secure in what I was doing. I enjoyed it because I learned how to do the physical work. Now, my father taught me how to do physical work, and those principles paid off. But when God saved my soul and called me to preach, I did not at that time understand the parallels between working hard and serving God. But in the years that I've been in the ministry, over and over and over, I've seen those parallels. Hardly a week goes by. I'm not trying to brag on this, and please don't misunderstand me. Hardly a week goes by, but what somebody asks me, how on earth do you get that much done? How on earth do you do this? My dad asked me. I was sitting down there with him on Monday, all day long. We sat there. My mother and I had a great time of fellowship, and we looked at some pictures, and we talked with each other, and just encouraged each other's hearts. And Dad finally came back from surgery and came back to the land of the living, and we were talking about some things and discussing some of the things we'd been doing. And my father just retired last June after 40 years in the ministry. He knows what the ministry is all about. And he said, son, when on earth do you study for your messages? And I said, well, Dad, all the time. I really do. I study. I read all the time. I was reading a book there that day. I read all the time, and I read into the night, and I read all Saturday afternoon and evening. I study all the time. And I sit down and I organize my message, you know, at specific times during the week. But hardly a week goes by that somebody doesn't ask me, how do you do the things that you do? I'll tell you a simple little formula, and I recommend it. A work. Okay? A work. You'd be amazed how much you can get done in a lot less time than a lot of people think by just working while you're working. Okay? An awful lot of people spend an awful lot of time and an awful lot of effort trying to get out of work when it'd be a whole lot easier to just work. You understand what I'm saying? Now that is that exact same principle right there. If you and I would just be faithful to do what God has given us to do, it's a key to maturity. You show me a little kid and I'll show you a child that loves to work if he's motivated and encouraged, but can get very easily discouraged and demotivated. You constantly have to be motivating him. You constantly have to be working with him. The difference between a little child and an adult is that an adult learns to motivate himself to do what he ought to do. Now, our motivation to be faithful when we serve the Lord is to be found in that principle that we read from Luke 16, 10, and 11 tonight. We are never going to be given opportunities to be serving in important ways until we have been faithful in those ways that are not important to us, but are very important. Work hard, be faithful, give, and that's the key. I'm going to close with this thought. Working is just another form of giving. It is giving of yourself. Being a good steward. Giving your energy, giving your time, giving your treasure, giving your talent, whatever it might be. Giving of yourself. We live in a world that is oriented toward getting, not toward giving. And that's one of the primary reasons that people have so many problems. That principle, just like all the other six, can find their effects in many areas of life. I have counseled people with marital problems where they were ready to get a divorce when sometimes the problem was they had no idea what they wanted to do with their lives and they just wanted to live happily ever after. There have been times when I've counseled people that were having terrible marital problems when the problem was immorality. I've counseled people sometimes where the husband was not a good provider and he wasn't encouraging his family and leading them because he had a wicked thought life and he was filling his mind with garbage. There have been times when I have seen that the problem is one of authority structure and somebody was in rebellion. I've seen it where there's been a tremendous amount of pride. But you know the thing that I have seen more than I have seen anything else that will cause the marriage to fly apart at the seams? A violation of this principle right here. A temporal value system that started with mismanaging money and not being faithful in the tasks that we are assigned by God, and it produced an attitude of greed and me first that is destroying the relationship. You show me a couple that is not willing to give of themselves to each other, and I'll show you a couple that's probably not willing to give of their substance to the Lord or give of their energies in serious work. And that's why I think one of the key things that people can do, especially young people that are so selfish and greedy, is to learn to give of themselves. Learn to be self-sacrificing. Learn to be good stewards, to be faithful in that which is least, so they can learn to be faithful in that which is much. Now, some of you dear folks here, bless your hearts. I'm telling you, you think, some of you in here tonight, and I don't want to call any names, but you know who you are. And you know that I know who some of you are, okay? Your problem is, you think you're going to really get serious for God someday when your ship comes in. And the truth of the matter is, it's come and gone. Because there's a lot of little things that aren't going to get done because you're not going to do them. And those little things that you could be doing are the steps that you could be taking to really doing something for God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that you go around and pick up hymn books and straighten chairs and take care of the little things just so that somebody will notice you and promote you. If that's your motive, you missed the point. But if you'll take care of those little things and be faithful in those things, you'll discover those things are not as little as you thought. They are just as important. Just as important. You don't have any idea sometimes how the little things that you do directly contribute to somebody coming to know Christ. Only in eternity are we going to know the effect of our work. But doesn't the Bible say if we give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, it's not without its reward? That is a true principle. Now you and I need to quit playing judge in this thing and quit trying to keep the score and evaluate how important things are and just get busy doing what needs to be done. You say, well, how do I know what needs to be done? Well, look around you. And a surefire way of determining that you have a responsibility is by seeing a need. Whenever you hear yourself say, boy, why didn't somebody do so-and-so? Let your ears perk up. Could be the Lord telling you it's time to go to work. Well, I wonder why somebody didn't take care of so-and-so over here. Maybe you're the one that ought to be doing it. You noticed it? Why don't you take care of it? I've heard people come 3-4 weeks in a row and say, you know, I've been seeing this for 3 or 4 weeks, and I wonder when somebody's going to do something about it. Well, amen. 3 weeks ago is when you should have fixed it. Isn't that right? Now I know you say, well, it's not my responsibility. Well, it may be your responsibility to find out who is responsible and encourage them and help them get it done. Isn't that right? We've got a selfish mentality. We need to grow out of it. That's childishness. That's like a couple little spoiled kids at home thinking that mom and dad are going to take care of everything. It's more than money. The principle of stewardship that we find in the principle of finances teaches us that we learn to be spiritually mature by doing physical things for God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this important truth. Help us to learn it and obey it. Lord, help us to recognize that we are going to do spiritually those things which we find to do in very much the same way that we've done things physically. Lord, help us to realize that this applies to our giving. It applies to our working. It applies to all those things that we're involved in. And Lord, I pray that you'd make this church a church of workers. Lord, I pray that folks would not wait to be told what to do, but would seek out things to do. Do it to the best of their ability, and do it for the glory of God. Lord, we know that that's not just a way to help the church be successful. That's a way for each one of us to grow. Let us exercise ourselves to be busy working for Thee so that we can grow and be mature in the Lord. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.